Praise the Lord, Steve. I'll tell you a little more about that song in just a second. All the children, twos and threes, fours and fives, are headed through that door. Other children up the stairs. You can be dismissed now. Just a couple other things before we turn in the text of Scripture. Ladies, we are going to give you some flowers, you mothers, before the end of the second service. We plan to give those out. For some reason, you need yours ahead of time. You can see a staff or deacon's wife for that. So we're not just giving the card to the men to pray for you, okay, just so you know that. Also wanted to tell you, last week we received a large sum of money toward our building fund. And we are hoping that we will be able to cover the walkways between this building and that building during rainstorms and things like that. That will be nice. That's our goal with that. So we're really grateful that God provided that for us. And then yesterday, Diane Christensen came and did lots of work on flower beds around here. And they look fantastic. I really appreciate her work. And then Bob and Andrew both put up 6 brand new lights in the gym. You will be able to tell which ones they are. Extremely nice. Stan and Joyner was in charge, and they work in there. That's wonderful. And they plan to put 6 more up, but those needed to be replaced. They're new bulbs. You'll be able to tell all that. So I appreciate those who are constantly working around here and ministering. Nikayla was supposed to sing this morning, but she got sick. Her voice is kind of shot. And Nikayla, I'm sorry that you had to get sick for the Lord to have that song sung, but that song that Brother Steve sung is perfect for the message this morning. As a matter of fact, the title of my message, I showed it to Pastor Adam, I said, look at what I'm preaching this morning. The title of the message, Through Someone Else's Eyes. And I want us to look at a number of characters in the Word of God, all women, all mothers. You're like, you're preaching your Mother's Day message here. I am. Ephesians has just been too good. I could not quit that series. I loved it so much, and so that's what we're going to do. Have you ever been in a game where someone blindfolded you and you had to depend on that person to get you through an obstacle course or whatever like that? Really, the person that you're depending on makes a big difference, doesn't it? I mean, you had some of your friends that you might have been good friends, but you would never trust them when you were blindfolded, right? You're like, nope, nope, nope. Wherever the slime pit is, wherever the electrocution is, that's where my friend will take me. He's a good friend, but he don't mind killing me. I mean, you just know that, right? Right up front. It's like, okay, those kind of people, nope, not going to do that, all right? Most of us will see life largely through some other people's eyes at times. Matter of fact, when you're firstborn, you're going to see life through your mother's eyes, largely. And there's so much of those things are impacted by that. One of the first really early on images that I have of my mom, and I'm grateful that this is one of the early images I have of her. I'm sure there were other things that were happening that I don't remember, okay? But one of my most vivid images as a little boy is my mom spending time in God's Word. And what an indelible thing that is for me, and how wonderful it is to have that as a legacy. Mothers have great influence for bad and for good. You think about, Rebecca taught her son to be a deceiver. I'm reading in that section of Scripture in Genesis right now. And she not only taught her son to be a deceiver, but she deceived her own husband and one of her other children. And she thought that was going to be a good thing. By the way, she never saw her son again after she sent him away because of that deception. Jezebel taught Ahaziah to serve Baal. Asa's mother was removed from being queen because she was an idol worshiper, and Asa had gotten his heart right with God. But this morning, I want to look at some positive. Aren't you glad there's some positive women in the Word of God too? You're like, yeah, you don't preach a Mother's Day message on Jezebel, right? Not normally, okay? What made these mothers good mothers? And Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Already this morning, I've seen that a number of places on social media as people talk about the influence of their mothers on their lives. Well, we're going to move through the Word of God. We've had a lot of preliminaries, so I'm going to reference a lot of these passages of Scripture instead of turning directly and reading them. But our first story is found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And I want to see Hannah because she prayed. Hannah because she prayed. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, the Bible says that her heart was burdened. She was in bitterness of soul. Now, by the way, that word doesn't mean that she was bitter at God, but her soul was so grieved, and she wanted so desperately to have a son, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, the Bible says in verse 10. In verse 12, it says, and it came to pass as she continued praying, so much so that she said, God, please, would you give me a son? And if you'll give him to me, I will give him back to you. A mother's prayers are powerful. This is interesting. I don't know that there's firm stats on this, but how many of you have heard of someone being saved, or maybe you yourself, or you've heard a story about someone being saved and they hearkened back to their mom's continual prayers for that to take place? How many of you have heard or seen? Large portion of the audience here this morning. What a powerful thing. Ladies, and men too, are we known as people of prayer? Can we get our prayers answered so much so that Hannah begging God to do that? But number two, I'm also going to use Hannah in the rest of this chapter. Look at verse 24 of chapter 1. It says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Number two, Hannah, because she willingly gave him up to serve the Lord. Willingly gave him up to serve the Lord. This word lent means to lend on request or to return that was obtained by petition. She said, God, you answered what I ask of you, and I'm going to give him back to you just as I promised you I'd do. By the way, this wasn't the only children that Hannah had. God continued to give her children as she prayed that way. Parents, it's important for us and for a large portion of us in this room, grandparents, do you willingly give your children and grandchildren back to the Lord? Do you know what that means sometimes? It means that you may not live close to them. It means that they may serve the Lord someplace that you can't get to really easily. This morning, I already talked to my mom this morning, and I know that my mother would love for me to be there with her this morning. I don't remember the last Mother's Day I spent with her. Excuse me. I wanted to cover the mic so it didn't kill you. But many, 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 many years ago, 1966, Brother Nathan said that was a long time ago. I think he was referencing me and my birthday recently. But my mother gave me back to God. And that's a huge deal. And today we live in a world where many parents are unwilling to give their children. And I want to tell you, the only place that you can really keep your children is by giving them to the Lord. Are you willing to give back to the Lord? Number three, we look at the story of Ruth. The story of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 3, in verse 6, Naomi, her mother-in-law, asked her to do something that for us, we don't quite fully understand, but it was a part of their custom there. Look at Ruth chapter 3, in verse 6. You know this story well. If I could find the book of Ruth, there it is. Ruth chapter 3, in verse 6. The Bible says that she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. All right, you remember the story. She's a widow. In Israel, there was a law about the kinsman redeemer. And her mother-in-law says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, and when Boaz gets done with the harvest for the day, you're going to lay at the feet of him as he's harvesting, and when he realizes you're there, you tell him that he's the near kinsman and he needs to redeem you and so forth. Boy, you're talking about awkward, right? I mean, that would have been difficult to do, even though it was somewhat of a tradition there. She was not yet a mother, I understand that, but this led to God giving her a child. It also led to her being in the line of Christ because she learned to be submissive to what was supposed to happen. She'd have been unfamiliar with these customs. Remember, Ruth was a Moabitess. So these customs to her would not have been something that she grew up with. This would have been potentially an awkward and could have been viewed in a negative light, and yet she did exactly what she was told to do. God entrusted her in the line of David and therefore in the line of Christ. So Ruth, because she was submissive to authority, can you demonstrate to your children how to submit? Again, we live in a world today in which people don't want to submit to authority. I told my wife yesterday, we were driving around picking up the flowers and some things like that, and I said, I'm convinced that 99% of the people in the world don't obey traffic laws. Like, they don't even know what they are, right? I mean, when's the last time you saw somebody come to a complete stop at a stop sign? I mean, like, you're like, is that what it means, stop? It actually means stop, like just S-T-O-P, not S-L-O-W, right? It's the speed limits and all that kind of stuff. I'm amazed at people. I'm like, you people are running me over. I'm going the speed limit. One day, by the way, North Carolina has a law that's called a follow law or something like that. I don't know, flow with traffic law, I think is what it is. So you're technically allowed to do that. One day, I'm running 70 in a 55 trying to flow with traffic, and they're flying by me. And I'm like, well, I'm going to get killed one way or the other. Might as well go to the speed limit, right? I mean, it's crazy out there. People don't know how to submit. Now, I want you to listen to me closely. Your children are watching you. And if you think you have the right to disobey authority in your life, then your children are going to assume that they can disobey authority in their life. And you are one of those authorities. Well, it's a little bit different with that. Right. You know, well, this particular authority is wrong. Like, you will never be wrong. Right? The point is, submission means I don't agree with it. But she learned to submit. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll look at the virtuous woman. We probably all of these people we could spend an entire message on. But Proverbs chapter 31, and we certainly will not do justice to this lady in the passage. But I want us to just pull out a couple of things about her that I think are pretty amazing. Number four, here this morning, the virtuous woman because of her provision. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 13 and following, seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Look at verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. This woman is revered because of her provision. She provides for her family. Again, a couple of passages of scripture in Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. It says this, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This word, keepers at home, means caring for the house, taking care of household affairs. Now, ladies, I'm not telling you that you can't work outside the home. There's certainly opportunity for that. But can I tell you biblically that one of your primary responsibilities is to take care of the house, to be a keeper at home? You're like, well, it's not a very popular day. Yeah. I just hate to tell you, but this book's becoming less and less popular. But it doesn't change what it says in the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. This word guide means to manage family affairs. It's part of your responsibility to do that. Now, men, can I tell you something? Let's just talk to you for a minute here, all right? Men, if your lady is working outside the home, she's working a full-time job, and you're working a full-time job, you shouldn't come home at night and you sit down and she keep working. You ought to share that workload together. You can do dishes. You can do some of those things, right? I started to say fold laundry. That one is tough for me because I don't ever fold it right anyway, right? But I could do dishes, right? I helped my wife cook breakfast this morning. We cooked breakfast together yesterday. We cleaned up the kitchen. We can do those things, men. That's some of the stuff that we can do. But ladies, can I just tell you, that primary responsibility falls at you. That's what God said. You're to be the keeper at home. You're to manage the household. And so this virtuous woman, because of her provision, number five, the virtuous woman, because of her serving. Look at verse 20 of Proverbs 31. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So not only was her household well taken care of, but she went beyond her household to serve others. Pretty amazing. By the way, ladies, don't get discouraged. She didn't do all of these things in one day. Right? Some ladies are like, are you serious? And I know some of you ladies will try to do all that in one day. It doesn't have to be done all in one day, okay? But she not only served her family well, but she served other people well. She went beyond caring for her house, though they were well cared for. She served those outside of her home as well. So do you serve your children? Do your children see you serving others? Do you do that with a cheerful heart? When God brings us through difficulties and so forth, do you do that with a cheerful heart? Those of you that are on social media, and I'm going to brag a little bit here, okay? If you have not seen my daughter's post from yesterday, Rebecca, you need to go view that. She talks about their journey of infertility, the fact that God took a little baby from them, and the heartbreak that that was. This morning, she'll take two little girls with her to church that God's given them for the time. And they've already sent us pictures of those girls making Mother's Day cards for her, which is precious. But she talked about the perspective of that. And she said, this morning, I can wake up and think about what God hasn't given me or what I perceive that he took away from me. But that doesn't show him to a world. Walking into church this morning with a joyful spirit for what he has done for me is what attracts people to my Savior. And I choose to do that. What a powerful way to look at it. Can I tell you? I don't understand all that's happened. In my opinion, from a daddy's standpoint, it'd have been far better for her not to have gotten pregnant than to have gotten pregnant and lost the baby. That's from my perspective. But I'm not omniscient. I don't know everything that God knows. But he does. And he's a good father, and he can trust in that process. What do your children see in you? Do they see you serving others? Number six, from this virtuous woman, we look at Proverbs 31 and verse 26. I think this is interesting. In the midst of all these things that he's saying about her, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Wow. The virtuous woman, because of her kind mouth. This word kindness here means goodness. Faithfulness. By the way, this word in the Old Testament is translated mercy 149 times. It would not be unfair to say here, in her tongue is the law of mercy. Ladies, sometimes when things get difficult, when life's not going well, when the homeschooling's really disaster, when whatever, we can let that come out our mouth. Men, we can do that too, by the way. All right. This is Mother's Day. And one of the things that this lady was known for was the law of kindness. She spoke kindly. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Do you think with all that she has going on, business dealings and side things and caring for her household and making sure they're up and the light doesn't go out and she's up early in the morning to care for them and she's providing food and everything. Do you think she ever had a bad day? I mean, I can promise you that she did. But the law of kindness is what she was known for. Does God know that you will communicate him to your children and grandchildren? other words, does he know that your mouth is trustworthy? It's a pretty powerful thing for us to think through that. Number seven, Luke chapter 1, if you would please. Luke chapter number 1. And there's much that could be said about these next two ladies. Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary," Mary is coming telling her that she is with child with the Messiah, "the babe," that would be John the Baptist, "leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy.'" What an amazing thing. Elizabeth, number seven, because she was filled with the Spirit of God. In this passage, it says she was filled here. Remember that they didn't have the permanent indwelling Holy Spirit in those days. God came upon them for specific things and so forth. Eventually, we know by Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit is permanently dwelling with us, and what a blessing that is for us. But here's the point. Elizabeth walked with God. This family was an amazing family. We've talked about that at Christmas time. Elizabeth and Mary, cousins, and just the godliness of this family, how God chose these people, critical ones. John the Baptist would be the forerunner for Christ. He would die very early on. He would be martyred for what he believed, the truth of God's word. Yet she walked with God. Again, can your children see God in you? Then we look at Mary. Again, there's a much we could say, but let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. As I think this is really a neat story. There's much about Mary that would commend her as being a mother. But John chapter 2 is one of those little stories that I think from a man's perspective is pretty neat. Look at John 2 verse 1. "And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." Now, verse 11 of this text tells us that this is Jesus' first miracle. Okay, so this is, if you will, the launch of his public ministry. "And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus said unto her, 'Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.'" I won't get into the nuances of that, but let me just say this up front. Jesus was not being disrespectful to her, because that would be sin, okay? And he had no sin. Are we clear where I stand on that? Okay. He was not being disrespectful of her, okay? But this is interesting how she responds in verse 5. "His mother said unto the servants, 'Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it.'" I love this because Mary believed in her son. Here she is standing there, and she goes to Jesus and says, they don't have any more wine. They're out of drink. And Jesus is like, "What do you want me to do about it?" You know, type of thing. And Mary turns to the servants and says, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it. I believe he can solve this problem. I believe in what God has asked him to do." Now, what do we know from this story? Well, not only does Jesus turn the water into wine, but it was the very best they had ever tasted. That's what happens when the creator gets a hold of it and there's no sin curse on it, right? By the way, it was not alcoholic wine, okay, just in case you're wondering about that too. We know this is the beginning of miracles, but who believed it could happen before anybody else? It was his mother. It's powerful when a mother will believe what God has called her children to do and in the process cheer them on. Cheer them on in a direction towards godliness. In other words, encourage them towards what God wants them to do. What a huge blessing that is. Outside of my wife, no question, my two biggest cheerleaders would be my mom and my mother-in-law. Both of them, it doesn't really matter what you think about my messages. My messages are the greatest message they've ever heard in the world, the current one I'm preaching. It's wonderful to hear that from my mom and mother-in-law. Now, my mother-in-law doesn't say that all the time because she doesn't hear my message a lot. My mom is probably listening right now. She normally does, so I have to behave all the time as well. But I love the fact that they are supportive. They're there. They're praying for me. Get texts from them all the time saying that. What prayer warriors they are, and that's a blessing. Mary believed in Jesus, believed in who he was, believed in what he wanted to accomplish. Do your children have your support as they grow in their knowledge of God? I could tell you stories, personal stories of people whose children have been called to the ministry and the parents have thrown wet blankets on them for it. What a tragedy it is. God doesn't call everybody to ministry. I'm not going to guilt trip into that. But can I tell you, if God does, you be the cheerleader. I've known parents who said, well, if you go to state college, I'll pay for it. You go to Bible college, I'm not paying for it. I'd like to see the opposite take place, but I won't get into that whole process right now, okay? Just support your children as they move towards their knowledge of God and their godliness. Lastly, can't leave Scripture without this one. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Paul is talking about Timothy here. Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus. These two books are part of three pastoral epistles. 2 Timothy written, we're not sure totally when, but very close to Paul's death. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Look at chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, in that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. So the ninth example this morning is Eunice, because she taught the scriptures. By the way, this Greek word here in verse 15 means a newborn child or an infant. In other words, Eunice taught the word of God to her son before he knew it was the word of God. Before he could comprehend it all, she was teaching him the word of God. Powerful truth. Timothy had ladies around him that modeled scripture, but also taught scripture. And as a result, as those two ladies impacted him, by the way, as far as we know, his father was not saved. As those two ladies impacted him, as Paul comes along and Timothy already has an incredible relationship in the church, a testimony in the church, and people say, hey, this Timotheus, you need to take note of him. Paul takes him and travels with him. He was probably a teenager at that time. And before long, he's pastoring churches, difficult churches like at Ephesus, following incredible men in pastorates. God greatly used him because a mom and a grandma taught him scriptures from the time he was born. It's important for us. What would your children and grandchildren, or your coworkers, or your husband or others say that you are known for? What would they say we are known for? What do we want to be known for? It's easy for us to look to the future and say, this is what I want to be known for. But what steps am I going to take today to be known for that? Because I can't do whatever I want today and still be known for what I want there. I must reach for that goal. If I want godly children who are fully surrendered to God, and I'm not saying they have to be in the ministry, but fully surrendered to whatever God wants them to be. If I want that, then I need to begin to teach them from the time they're born the truths of Scripture and how this book should guide their life in every single way. We have an incredible responsibility to do that. And moms, the truth is, you get to do that a whole lot. And they will listen to those powerful examples. So these ladies are ladies that we can look to and say, wow, what conviction it is for us as we look to them and say, these characteristics are those that would please God. Father, we thank you for your word. We're grateful that we have the word of God that we can grasp onto, that we can hold onto as we learn truths. And Lord, the fact is, sometimes these truths in Scripture make us a little uncomfortable. Sometimes they're just downright, we don't like them because it goes against the grain of what we think. But I pray that we would submit ourselves to your word Thank you for the many godly women that are in this room this morning. Thank you that they set that kind of testimony. Thank you for those that have influenced us throughout the years in a variety of ways. We're grateful, and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Lord bless. You're dismissed to Sunday school.